First, just refresh our memories. How were these regulations developed over the past 2 years since the Coastal Zone Conversion Permit Act was passed?
Well, what happened was that DENREC set up something called a Regulatory Advisory Committee, and that was an 18-member panel that consisted of representatives from a variety of different interests and constituencies, business groups, environmental groups, city government, labor unions, and so on. And they spent the best part of a year coming up with a series of recommended regulations that that were designed to implement the new act that will, in theory, open up these 14 sites in the coastal zone to new heavy industry. And they published these proposed regulations a few months ago, a couple of months ago. At that point, they were just recommendations, and DENREC had the option of accepting them or rejecting them or in whole or in part. And in fact, they ended up accepting the recommendations. And the mood music coming from the members of that committee was actually pretty positive. I mean, members of that committee were telling me that that nobody got everything that they wanted to. They wanted, but people were broadly satisfied that there were this set of regulations. Broadly met everybody's aspirations, I guess you'd say. And so the interesting thing now is that now the regulations are, have now been proposed or now been published by DENREC, and on the basis of the public comments that we've had in response to those, it seems like nobody's happy. That that all sides seem to be quite critical of what DENREC's proposing here.
Yeah, and as your piece points out, it's both sides, the business side that's looking to do the development on these limited number of properties in the coastal zone, and environmental interests, which have been concerned about this kind of renewed development there. Both are taking issue with them. Let's start on the business side. Let's kind of take them one at a time. We'll start on the business side. You know, what fault are they finding with these draft regulations?
Well, some of the strongest criticism has come from Sunoco. Now, Sunoco, of course, owns the Marcus Hook Industrial Complex in Delaware County, Pennsylvania, and also straddles across the Delaware-Pennsylvania line. They own about 45 acres in Delaware. They say that they are actively planning to reactivate that site, which, of course, they've been unable to do since the original Coastal Zone Act was passed in 1971. And one of the things that Sunoco is saying is that they're highly critical of the regulation that would issue permits, issue a permit to an applicant for a period of only 20 years. And Sunoco is saying that that this is going to put off, this is going to deter any company that might be thinking about spending millions or even billions of dollars in reactivating these sites. Sunoco says, well, there's no way that they're going to do that on if their permit is only going to last for 20 years. And Sunoco is also saying so that provision alone, they say, has no basis in either the new law or the original Coastal Zone Act.
On the environmental side, it seems there's a number of different issues that are being raised. One appears to be with the process of developing the regulations themselves. Can you explain that piece of it?
Well, on the environmental side, some of the strongest criticism came from the Delaware Audubon Society. And their argument is that DENREC rushed this process of putting together these regulations. They say that DENREC didn't set up the Regulatory Advisory Committee until about 10 months after the new act became law, and said that it's the result is a poorly drafted text and that's full of inaccuracies. That is one of the that's one of the criticisms there. I mean, they're also Audubon has also criticised DENREC for holding the RA these committee meetings during working hours, which they say prevented various interest groups, including themselves, from attending and contributing to this discussion. I mean, and they're calling. They said that there were a number of public workshops that DENREC held, but they Audubon referred to those as more PR than community engagement.
Another issue was how the regulations handle the issue of sea level rise. Where do some environmental groups find the regulations falling short on that particular issue?
Well, the Delaware Ornithological Society was one of those who were critical on the SLR issue, and their specific problem is that the regulations would require applicants to say how their new facilities will be affected by sea level rise over 30 years. Now, what the society says is that there's huge uncertainty with sea level rise. Obviously, Delaware's particularly vulnerable to it. And so what this environmental group says is that coastal zone applicants should be required to project the effect of sea level rise over 50 years, not 30 years, as proposed in the regulations.
The other issue some groups are taking up is regarding the coastal zone environmental goals and indicators. First, can you explain to us a little bit about these environmental goals and indicators and what they mean when it comes to the coastal zone?
Well, there was a fair amount of discussion about these indicators in several of the public comments on the regulations. But the essential point to bear in mind here is that the indicators, these environmental goals and indicators, were never actually defined. There were proposals to include indicators to build those into the current set of regulations that were developed during the 1990s, the late 1990s. But at the time, DENREC said that it didn't have the resources to do that. And now some environmental groups are urging that these indicators should be revived and incorporated into the regulations protections can be put in place for things like endangered bird species.
So is there anything else that the advocates are suggesting the regulations are doing or should be doing with these indicators?
Their real argument, the environmentalist here, is that they say that if the new regulations are finally adopted as written, it would essentially make permanent the absence of these environmental indicators. So they would formalize the absence of them, They're advocating very strongly that there should be these metrics built into the regulations so that the authorities can see whether these new industrial activities are actually consistent with environmental quality, or in fact whether they're eroding environmental quality as indicated by things like, you know, bird species and coastal marshes and that sort of thing.
On the other side of things, what is the business community saying about the inclusion or exclusion of these indicators?
Well, there was a submission by Robert Wetzel, as an attorney who represented the Delaware State Chamber of Commerce on the regulatory committee, and he said the whole idea of environmental indicators were just too vague to really be a legitimate part of the regulations, and so his argument is that they simply should be removed.
Do we have a sense of where things go from here now? I mean, obviously, this is, I guess, supposed to be wrapped up by the fall. I guess, what does DENREC do from here?
Well, DENREC, I approached DENREC for comment on this, especially in light of the quite strong criticism from various parties here. And all they would say is that the comments will be, quote, thoroughly vetted, but it's not clear whether there's going to be any more detailed response. And eventually, the regulations have to be adopted by something called the Coastal Zone Industrial Control Board, which was set up back in 1971.
And that's supposed to be done by October, correct?
October 1st is the deadline for finalizing these regulations, yes.
John Hurdle, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for staying with this story for us.
You're welcome, Tom.